Let's return back to Genesis chapter number 27, verse number 6, with the story of how Rebekah kind of pushed her son Jacob into deceiving his father, into giving him the birthright blessing. Now, Rebekah is probably functioning on a couple of levels here. She had heard Yitzhak make plans to bless Esau, and she was probably aware that the two boys, the two young men, had many years earlier agreed that Jacob, the younger twin by just a few moments, would receive the blessing. That was all over a little red bean soup. But she also remembers back when they were inside of her during their pre-birth time, that they were struggling with one another, and that she had received revelation from God that the younger was going to become the senior to the older. And so she might be trying to help God out here, not just simply try to help her favorite son out. Because I suppose we could bring that into the issue. She prefers Jacob over Esau, just like Yitzhak prefers Esau over Jacob. And it's got everything to do with their common likes and dislikes. All right, so Esau is out hunting because that's what his dad told him to do. Dad is under the impression for some reason that he doesn't have much longer in this world. And so he wants one last venison meal or some sort of wild game meal before he gives the actual blessing ceremony to his favorite son. And then he expects to die soon after that. So Rebekah is now going to intervene. And she takes advantage of the blindness of her husband at this point. He's probably affected with cataracts. He's 137, but he will live on to be about 180. So he's not anywhere near his death date yet. But he is apparently pretty far along in his body, having the marks of old age. All right, so to the chapter 27, verse 6. Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock, bring me two young goats so that I may prepare for them from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves." So she is under the impression, and she's probably very well knowledgeable in this area, she can make two tame goats taste like wild game. It's all in the herbs and spices, you know. So she's going to fix it up, and she also has something to do with the goat skin. We'll get to that part later. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies. But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man." Now, Esau got his name, a piece of work, because when he was first born, he came out all covered in red fur. And so he kind of reminded them like a rug, a piece of work. So he's maintained that very hairy body type his entire life. In fact, it might have even got thicker the older he grew. But Jacob, they were not identical twins, so Jacob was smoother of skin. Yeah, he still had hair and things, but he was nothing like the coarse, hairy covering of his brother. And so Jacob knows, if I get into close proximity to my dad, he is going to figure this out, Mom. Verse 12, "Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse on myself, not a blessing. So, Mom, this could backfire really easily. If he touches me and realizes I'm the one that's trying to fake being Esau, and of course he's going to have to disguise his voice. And so if he gets busted intentionally trying to take the blessing, then it's possible that his father would punish him by putting a curse on him instead. So his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me." So basically, trust me. Just go bring me what I told you to bring. We usually get an impression of all of this happening with fairly young men. But I want you to appreciate, we're talking about Jacob and Esau being about 77 years old. That's how the chronology breaks out here. Now, as soon as I say that, you're like, they're really old. How is all this happening the way it's happening? Keep in mind that among the line of Abraham, it was still typical to be very long-lived. Like I said, Yitzhak's going to live until he's 180. Father Abraham lived until he was 175. Ishmael lives to be 137. Jacob and Esau will live to be pretty old as well, into their second century. So if you were to ratio them back to our typical length of age when we die, say somewhere in the 70s, then being 77 in that sort of ratio would be roughly the same as being in the second half of your 30s. So even though it is a little late, you know, it's a little late to delay getting married and raising a family, it's not unheard of, shall we say. Even in our own time period, there are some men that don't bother to get married until they're in their 30s or 40s. Okay, so we need to picture a well-mature Jacob being directed by his mom, who's probably somewhere in the beginning of her second century herself, to just do what I tell you to do. Everything will be okay. And so he's mom's son, so he trusts her. So he went, according to verse 14, and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. So within a matter of an hour or so, she's got this really tasty domestic goat meal that's made with all the spices and culinary skills to taste like wild game, such as Yitzhak loves. And then, verse 15, Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. So she's got some of his clothes. Maybe she is storing them, or maybe she has been working on them, because as his best clothes, then they would want to keep them well maintained. So mom might be the one that takes care of that sort of business. So she's got those clothes in her control already, which means, and I know this will feel weird in our society, it means that they will smell like Esau. Now, they did bathe and things of that nature, but they did not have the same hygiene level that we have in our Western society today. So their clothing definitely would have carried their distinct body scent. And so that's going to be part of her thought, is if I put Jacob in Esau's clothing, the clothing is going to feel familiar, and it's going to smell familiar to Yitzhak. And that's not it. That's not the only thing. And this is one of the weird parts of this story, because we find out just how hairy Esau was. Verse 16, The skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. So she takes and very quickly makes some sort of collar, neck collar, of some of the goat skin, of the goat that she's just cooked, and also some sort of partial glove system for his hands. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever petted a goat, but they have very stiff, bristly feeling hair. And so that's apparently the type of feel that Esau's skin was. That's how hairy he was. It'd be like petting a goat. And so she fixes Jacob up so that the places that Isaac, the places that Isaac is most likely to touch, his hands, the back of his neck when he gives him a hug, are covered in such a way that they will feel like Esau's skin. He's also going to be dressed in Esau's clothing and smell like him. And he's also going to be bringing food that tastes like the wild game meal that Yitzhak is expecting. And then one last thing that's not really mentioned at this juncture, and that is Jacob is going to try to mimic the voice of his brother. He's going to try to sound like Esau. Now, I don't know if that means he's going to try to make his voice deeper, or he's going to use certain types of words or have some sort of cadence. We know that when you've been in a family for a while, you can kind of take on the affectations of one of the members of the family and make a little bit of a joke of what you think they sound like. So he's going to try to pull that off. Let's see how it goes. Verse number 17. So she put the delicious food and the bread which she'd prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And so he went into his father and said, "My father." So now he's trying to pretend to be Esau, using his voice. And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, son?" So he's blind, probably got cataracts, can't see. And he hears a voice calling him by name. And he's like, who's that calling me? And Jacob said to him, "I'm Esau, your firstborn, and I've done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." And then, now Yitzhak is suspicious from the very beginning of this whole story. The voice doesn't sound right. But also, he is back too soon. Yitzhak has been on many a game hunt, probably, with Esau. And he knows that you've got to go out there, you've got to kind of do some tracking, you got to do some stalking, and then you might miss the first one you go for, so you have to restart the process, or maybe you're waiting for just the perfect one, and eventually you get it, and then you have to skin it out and gut it out and bring it back home and start cooking it up. So it's a little too soon for Esau to be expected back. And so verse number 20, Yitzhak said to his son, "How is it you have found it quickly, so quickly, my son?" And he answered, "Oh, it's because he who is my God, or your God, granted me success." So now he brings God into the lie. He says, oh, the reason why I'm back so soon from the hunt is because God helped me find one really, really fast. And then Yitzhak said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." So now he's like, okay, this is not right. You need to come close so I can touch you. And see, Rebecca expected this, didn't she? So Jacob went near to Yitzhak, his father, who felt him. So he touches him on the arms, on the parts of his hands that are showing out of the sleeves, and the parts of his neck where you'd give a hug. And so he feels that coarse hair, and he says, "Oh, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." So he actually was pretty sure that Jacob was the one talking to him. So even though Jacob's been disguising his voice, it sounds like Jacob pretending to be Esau. But now that he gets up close and personal, he feels these hands, and they feel an awful lot like Esau's very hairy skin. Verse 23, he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" Now, when it says he blessed him here, that's more of the initial blessing. It's not the official stuff yet. And so he's still a little bit hesitant. "Are you really Esau?" And he answered, "I am." So definitely he's lying. And then he said, "Bring it near me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. So he's feeding him this special meal. And then his father Yitzhak said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he wants to get a good hug. And so he came near and he kissed him, you know, that two-cheek sort of thing. And Yitzhak smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him. And he said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that Yahweh," or He Who Is, "has blessed." I remind you again that because Moses is writing this after the divine name has been given, he uses the divine name throughout all these stories to remind the Israelites, this is the same God who brought us out of Egypt, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and all of these key players in our history. Just keep in mind that more than likely the word El or God was used here, or maybe El Elyon, the God of gods, the highest God, or maybe El Shaddai, my God, the Almighty. Maybe that would be what he actually said here. But the big key thing is he smelled him, and because these are actually Esau's clothes, they smelled right. Verse 28, "May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine." So now he's moved into the official blessing ceremony. And he is asking that God would prosper him physically. Verse 29, "Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you." That was part of the Abrahamic blessing, that kings and leaders would arise from this family line. "Be Lord or master over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you." So again, this is also part of the blessing ceremony, that he is going to be the head of the clan structure, of the family structure. And even his mom's sons, that is, other descendants in that same line, are going to look to him as the leader of the clan. He's going to be the, shall we say, the mayor of Tent City, the president of this traveling community of Bedouins. And then comes the clear Abrahamic blessing that we've talked about before. "Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." So the official Abrahamic blessing has now been pronounced over Jacob. And yeah, I know in our culture we would think that that would be grounds for dismissal of all of this because it was gathered under fraudulent conditions. But in this time period, in this culture, once the words are uttered, they are in force. They cannot be recalled. And so Jacob now has the blessing. It's very weird in a way, because God had predicted it would go this way, that the younger of the two twins would be the more blessed of the two, that he would become the senior of the pair. That's what Rebekah knew when the babies were still inside of her 77 years earlier. But Jacob had also manipulated, shall we say, Esau, a very hungry Esau, into verbalizing his willingness to sell to Jacob this birthright blessing for a bowl of lentils, some of that red stuff. And so he may feel that this was fair because Esau was going back on that deal. But the deal is done, and now Jacob is going to take his leave. As soon as Yitzhak had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Yitzhak his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. So what we just read probably took a couple of hours, because by the time Rebekah made the meal in that special way, and got the clothes all ready, and got the skins all ready, and got him all dressed and schooled him on that, it would have been probably a couple of hours for him to go in and feed his dad and get the blessing and leave. So Esau arrives back roughly right around that same time period, that same time window. And then he starts going through his process of preparing the meal. So that's going to take him a little while. And once he's done, he's going to go into his dad's presence. And my guess is that he probably enters his father's presence within the hour. You know, sometime before 60 minutes have passed since his brother had been there and got the blessing. So verse 31, he also prepared delicious food, brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." And his father Isaac said to him, and you can appreciate that he's going to be shocked. He's going to be surprised here. "Who are you?" And he answered, "I'm your son, your firstborn Esau." And then Yitzhak trembled very violently. So he becomes physically upset. He's actually shaking. His arms, his legs, his body are all shaking because he's upset. "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I've blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." Because this goes into the culture of that time. The moment the words of a blessing were spoken, it was done. It could not be recalled. And as soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter wail and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." So Esau is upset because he was thinking he was getting ready to say goodbye to his father, his beloved father. And the last thing that he could do is give his dad one more delicious meal that they could share something special with this game dinner. And then his dad would bless him before he passed away. And now all of that has been disrupted by this interloper. Now, that's how Esau is going to see it, is that Jacob is an interloper. Even though he had agreed to sell his birthright back at a time when he didn't care about it. But now, years later, he does care about it. And so what does Yitzhak say? Well, he figures out what's happened, so he expresses it. Verse 35, he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he's taken away your blessing." Remember, the whole time that it was going on, Yitzhak was suspicious. Remember, he thought it was Jacob's voice, and he checked about the hairiness and all of that seemed to match, but it still felt like it was Jacob. But he allowed himself to be convinced in his blindness by his other senses that it was in fact Esau. And now he realizes he was right in his uncertainty earlier, but it's too late. Verse 36, Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Yaakov?" Now remember, Yaakov was given to the baby 77 years ago because he came out holding on to the heel of his older brother's leg. And so they gave him the name heel grabber in Hebrew. But that name apparently has a symbolic meaning of somebody that pulls your leg in a tricky way. We've actually got the same sort of idiom in our modern English when we say, "Are you pulling my leg?" Meaning, "Are you trying to trick me?" And so it probably goes all the way back to this idiomatic expression. So isn't he rightfully named Tricker, Jacob, Leg Puller? "For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing." So he's thinking that he's got a bad attitude toward what happened with the bowl of lentils as well. That Jacob was out from way back then to try to take what was rightfully his, even though he didn't care about it back then. "And behold, now he's taken away my blessing." And then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" And so he's just begging his dad for anything. And since we've run out of time for the day, we will not be able to read yet the only thing that's left. And it's not pleasant, and it really gets Esau upset.